Our second reading today comes from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, verses 9 through 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairers of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it not going your own ways, serving your own interests or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As Andrew mentioned, yesterday was Loaves and Fishes. It was the 30th anniversary of Nassau being involved with Loaves and Fishes. And this beloved summer event, serving meals at St. Mary's Cathedral in Trenton, is one way that Nassau offers food to the hungry. It's led by expert congregation members. They know the best way to assemble a peanut butter and jelly sandwich so it doesn't get soggy. They can calculate exactly how many meatloaves, brownies, butter pats, and water bottles are needed to serve our neighbors. And when people are dropping off supplies, I love hearing about how Madeline was the brownie maker, and Agnes's grandsons and friends pack lunches, including beautiful butterfly, paper butterflies on the bags. I love seeing families and friends show up to serve meals. JB and sons joking with the guests, seasoned and new kitchen crew churning out the potatoes and gravy. Loaves and Fishes is an event that takes everyone's generosity to pull off. And it's important as this late August tradition is, Nassau is aware that there is more to following Isaiah's direction to offer food to the hungry. It's why Nassau helped found and continues to support Arm in Arm with its food pantries and mobile delivery that are reaching new numbers of neighbors each year. It's why we come together every month to donate to the hunger offering. And several of those partner organizations provide food, and they work toward food security for all. Because we know that offering food to the hungry encompasses more than today's meal. There's also systemic work to be done. To ask, why is food access different for different people? How can we repair and rebuild infrastructures to satisfy the needs of the afflicted? It's why Nassau is partnering with Westminster on a microloan program in Trenton, particularly inviting people previously incarcerated to seek support for their business endeavors. It's why Nassau leadership is working with our anti-racism team, engaging a series of webinars and conversations to build our capacity and expand our imagination for racial justice. It's why some people work toward legislation that will help provide what people need. Each of these on-ramps, as well as others, to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly is important because we each engage from where we are to help our community. So whichever on-ramp we personally take to offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, it is ongoing work. It's a practice of faith. to serve our neighbors and steward what God has given us. Loving our neighbors is a way of being and is something Crossroads Anti-Racism Training and Organizing stresses. The webinar series, The Leadership of NASA is Engaging, is called The Challenge of Anti-Racism. And part of the challenge is that justice is something we have to undertake and practice without any end date. Consider what practice does for someone learning a new instrument or another language. It takes dedicated repetition, willingness to learn from mistakes, and often coaching and accountability to really improve, gain new skills, and grow. So it only makes sense from this passage in Isaiah that to offer food to the hungry, satisfy the needs of the afflicted, to grow into repairers of the breach and restorers of streets to live in, that these are large endeavors and not simple tasks. It's something that we work at over and over from many different avenues and angles. The task for caring for all our neighbors and creation itself can seem like a daunting one that may be out of reach. It can be hard to stay motivated to continue practicing faith. Challenges come and priorities shift, and it can seem impossible to maintain a way of being that helps bend the moral arc toward justice. At those times, God reminds us in this passage of Isaiah that our work really can make an impact. The prophet Isaiah has seen God's people struggling through the previous 57 chapters. They have been in parched places, experienced oppression and exile. So it's extra beautiful to reach these images in chapter 58 of the people becoming like a well-watered garden. They're caring for one another. It's a relief to hear that flourishing is possible. Earlier in this chapter, there's conflict of what kind of practice God calls people to take up. And our passage responds, it's practices that actually result in restoration. We find it's not religious busyness and personal piety, but rather a caring for the entire community. This neighbor love is what will help a society in disarray, and that is what is honoring to God. God also provides us perspective on the task is greater than any one person can accomplish, but it is something we can collectively work toward. The story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 shows up in all four Gospels, but the version in John is my favorite. And that's the one we heard at the time with children today, because generosity is first exhibited by a small child. The boy hasn't been jaded enough by the world to withhold what he has for only himself. And I wonder if the adults were motivated to give what they had after seeing a child offer 5 loaves and 2 fish for 5,000 of them. Perhaps there was a small loaf of bread stowed at the bottom of their bag, or a piece of fish that was waiting for their walk home. And I wonder if the boy's generosity multiplied as others added what they had to share as part of the distribution. Like the feeding of the 5,000, it seems like it would be a miracle for us to be able to feed the hungry and repair all that is broken in our world. But we know that resources exist. God reminds us that it does matter that we share, and we really can help one another and be inspired by one another. It's that way with loaves and fishes, because we see regular volunteers who give 2 Saturdays a month all year long to serve our neighbors, and they help enable NASA to serve in our weekend in August. We get to work alongside a young adult who is there because she enjoyed it so much when she came with her congregation in the late spring. We can also look for motivating examples from others engaging systemically to help in poverty and care for all creation. One awe-inspiring example of people coming together across difference to care for their neighbors is the work of Reverend Dr. William Barber. He mobilizes the Poor People's Campaign. And for years, he and others have picked up where Martin Luther King Jr. Left off, and his vision to invite people in poverty to share their stories and unite for a better world. Barber calls this bringing together of people a moral fusion coalition, because it's not people's heritage, socioeconomic standing, gender, or religion that gives them common ground. It's rather a moral commitment to the well-being of neighbor and creation. Millions of people have engaged with the call for the Poor People's Campaign, in person and virtually, gathering together to work for the well-being of the 140 million people who are poor in our country. Barber helps everyone see that they are not alone. All can practice generosity and care and exhibit agency. He upholds those voices who are in poverty as central, and they are not pushed to the side because their resources are different. When the road seems in need of restoration and the world in need of repair, let us remember that to offer food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted is a practice that we undertake together. It's a practice God joins us in and reminds us that we can be called repairers of the breach and restorers of streets to live in. There is satisfaction, strength, and flourishing to be had. So whether it's the amazing mobilization of William Barber, the five loaves and the two fish of the young boy, or the generosity you see extended by your neighbor in the pew, may God renew us for the work ahead, helping us practice faith in such a way that makes God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We practice faith. We strengthen our muscles, expand our capacity, make space for others to join us with their generosity, that we may work with God in loving all creation. We know that offering food for the hungry and satisfying the needs of the afflicted encompass all the different ways we can serve and love our neighbor with God and community alongside us. May we multiply the generosity among us and feel renewed in the well-watered gardens God promises. Amen.